A spirit of faith is something that I think I was in 19. I was raised in an incredible teaching home. So I heard my dad preaching and I heard my mom teaching. And so I feel like I had the best of both worlds. It was just a great growing up. About 1980, for me anyway, we discovered the faith message. Now, when I say we discovered, I guess I should. My dad and mom always taught faith and believing God and saw signs and wonders. But Kenneth Hagin brought to the forefront something that changed my world. And it was that we don't sit around waiting for God to move. We exercise something called faith. And when we exercise our faith, it determines what will happen in our life, our marriage, our ministry, our attitude, how many volunteers we get. Everything is controlled by personal faith. I don't care if you drop a believing guy in an unsaved business. That business is about to prosper because they got a son, a king's kid in there, and this guy's going to believe and he's going to prosper. And I got to thinking a little bit about that, and two things that I want to share. The first, and here's what happened. I had this message all written out. I had a meeting just before. I grabbed my iPad and I went and I dropped it, and the only notes that disappeared were today's. So I want to talk about faith and I want to talk about Bezalel. So if I forget my second point, you guys remember Bezalel. Okay, we're going to go there next. And I'm going to try to remember my notes. But the thing about faith that I have to keep reminding myself is that what do I need in my finances, in my home, in my physical body, energy, healing? What do I need in my staff? What do I need for new staffing? What do I need for buildings, for lands? And as I begin to there was times in my life where I would just speak the word. And there's times, if you're like me, you just, for some reason, you stop doing it. And it seems to be when things start to flow good, right? There's no pain or pressure being exerted. So you kind of back out and things coast. But then things, momentum only comes so long. And it starts dropping out. And then you somehow don't engage again. That you've got to speak to the mountains, call things that be not as though they were, and you start banging into things, and it gets tough, and it gets hard, and you're trying to answer problems through management that only faith will answer. That's a good comment. You're trying to manage something that only faith can answer. You can only manage so much money, you just need more of it. You know what I'm saying? You only manage the 15 volunteers you got so long, and then you need more of them. And so more is my mom tells me the first word I learned as a baby, and more. And you know what? It's the truth that we need to think that way here on staff and in the church, that there is no hope for us being a typical church staff who just manages existing resources for the next 10 years. 10% growth is a landslide. And it's only in about 15% of our churches. That means that a church of 100 will handle 10 people, and that is the fastest growth curve there is out there. 10% a year. Now, that's pretty wonderful, because if you think this thing through, 110 people, you know, 100 people will reach 10. They'll assimilate them. They're at 110. Now they'll reach 11 people the next year. And this thing does begin to grow quantumly, so that when you're at 1,000 people, you're going to grow 100 people that year. And when you're at 3,000 people, you're going to grow 300. So it's a great flow. But we're nowhere near that thing. Like in the last couple of years, we haven't maybe grown like we have at 50%. But at 1,700 people in weekly attendance last year, that has to be a major hit. And so the pressure is always on us to develop better systems, to raise up more volunteers, or to sit down and redesign the whole thing because that ain't working. And only you can make those decisions in the trenches and in front and your part. But so once you manage it to the max, and the best managed companies might manage at what, 85% capacity, would you say, Steve? If you're doing 85, you're the most rocking company out there. So after that, you're just not going to manage that last 15% because you're dealing with people. And people don't like being managed. People like being led. So you got to manage them with a leadership culture. All right. But when it comes to going places, it's going to take a spirit of faith. And a spirit of faith is not just practicing faith. What do I have to do, Leon? Speak to the mountain? Okay. In Jesus' name, I believe I have received 15 more fully trained, excited volunteers. In Jesus' name, amen. You know what? You can confess it till you're blue in the face. If you haven't got a spirit of faith to go with the practice of faith, then you're going to get discouraged while you practice what doesn't work. And if we're at a place where I wanted to remind you and encourage you of the points of using your faith, and I want to review them because God's been messing with me on them and speaking to my world because there's things I am believing God for this year that I need to come to pass. And I've managed and I've managed and I've managed. I don't mean that I've just barely managed. I mean like I'm managing, I'm changing, I'm thinking, I'm going through the paces, I'm doing the stuff. And it's just like, okay, it's time to lift. Time to boom, go to a whole new level. And it doesn't mean I want to do more. Nobody here wants to do more. And it reminds me, you've heard me this analogy all the time, that and I was talking to the pastors about this when I was in Phoenix. You're in first year, and it's at 10,000 RPMs. I used to drive a little Datsun 510, rusted out fenders, and big wheels and everything. I'd go, at first gear, I was going, and it would kind of shudder. And I just wrapped that thing up. But then when I pushed the clutch in and I pulled it into second, this car would go, now I'm going twice as fast. No, I'm sorry, I'm going the same speed at basically a fifth of the energy level. It was at 10,000 RPMs, it dropped down to 2 with a shift on the tack. But at a certain point, if you keep your foot on the gas, it's going to end up at 10 again. Pretty soon I'm in second and I can't handle anymore. I'm going to freak. I'm going to blow up. Get me out of here. But instead you clutch it. You yank the thing into third, boom, down to 2000 RPMs. It's now I'm going the same speed at a fifth of the work. And then I had 4 or 5 gears, so then the car wouldn't go faster than fifth. In God, there are no ends of gears, but in God, you'd better know what the clutching system is. I don't pray anymore for just more work to do. I say, God, where's the clutch? And what is second gear? Where's the clutch? And what is second gear? For some of you, it'll be the delegation to people and the finding of a right person to be your second in command or a third person on your team. For someone else, it might be the developing of a new computer skill. For someone, it might be the use of just a time thing. For someone, it might be a total change that the way we're set up will not work. Meet with your leaders. Let's blow this thing up and redesign it because it's no longer working. I don't know what it is, but whatever that clutch is, it's the only way for you to move on any further. And I don't know what I could go through many examples of what the clutch was for me. Most of them were me developing a skill that enabled me to delegate, that enabled me to rethink how we did it. If we're going to do, for example, 5 weeks of new ministry member meetings, but I'm tired of booking every 2 months, 5 evenings, let's see if we can't condense it into 1.5 hour session. And then even doing that, now I want it on video. Those are all clutches for me. A hiring of a staff member can be a clutch. Who knows what it is, but you got to find those clutches. Now, faith is vital through all this process, because if you don't believe, you won't try. You see, hope is believing God that things are going to change and get better. Hope is saying it's going to get better. It's going to work. Things are going to happen. But where there is no hope, faith can't function. So faith is the evidence of things hoped for. Then faith is a substance, I'm sorry, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I think my greatest faith testimonies aren't the miraculous things God's doing now. You know, some of the things that rocked my world with faith were the littlest things. I'll never forget the first time when Sal and I got married. And, we didn't have much money to do anything. And I wanted holidays. And I kept believing God for holidays. Finally, one day, someone said, if you don't get specific, God doesn't know what to bless you with. So Sally, what would be fun for us to do this summer? She goes, you know what? It'd be really nice just to have a cabin on the beach somewhere. So I checked it out. Oh, great. Well, it's just fine, $2,000. for a cabin that gets us on the beach with our two or three little kids. But you know what we did? I thought, she wants that? Fine. I could use that too. That'd be nice. We took hands, sat down by our breakfast table in our little 590 square foot house and said, God, I could use some holidays with a cabin on a beach somewhere. In Jesus' name, we're claiming it by faith and we're thanking you for it in the name of Jesus. And that year, three different people and only one came to our church, walked up to me and said, I have a cancellation of my rented house on the beach, and it was on two different lakes. Could you use it? And we went three times that year. And it rocked our world. I mean, now I look back, and I mean, you know, as we all develop, I go, well, that's pretty cool, but what about the guys that got raised from the dead? What about the time God did this? You know what? It was the fact that God would answer a personal need in my life to take my family on holidays. It rocked my world. And it made me excited because I'm believing God. I'll never forget when we went our first house. We got through about two houses, and these were like, I mean, the one house, I bought it because Sally wanted it. That was the only reason. Because, I mean, you could blow through the windows. That was so rotten. Here's what I did. I took, you know those glue guns? What do you call that stuff? Caulking. The caulking. And every window, the wood was so rotten, you could actually blow through it. So I cut out plywood the shape of all the window wood, and I smeared caulking all through it, and I just imprinted it on the window and stuck it. And that was our house. And then I went inside and sprayed this thing down with with all the plastic and a heat gun, and I heated clear plastic over every window in the house, which the kids destroyed, everyone by poking their fingers through. So our heating bill was still high. And I remember in this house, and then we wanted a nicer home. And you know what? Nothing had changed with my salary. But we began to believe God. I said, Father, I want a nicer home. We're believing, we're flowing with you. And you know what? God never answered those prayers the way I expected him to. I expected someone to hand me an oil well, or my dad to give me a big raise, or the hospital. None of those things happened. It always took place in ways I never dreamed of. And I'll never forget the time I bought this house that had nice windows in it. I mean, I just looked at the windows. I just felt them. And God provided a way. And it didn't have anything to do with God doing things I expected him to do. It was just, he set the wheels in motion. The right people came into my life. And it wasn't because I was a pastor. Okay? It was just things came to pass, people I didn't know. And they showed me how to do some financial work with my finances. They showed me how to use some of the stuff I had here. And I went, oh, okay. And away I went. And it never takes place unless I am exerting my faith. And I want you to understand this one thing today. If you don't exert your faith, and the only way I can think of exerting your faith, any Trekkies here? I'm a Star Trek fan. Okay. Have you seen at least one Star Trek program? Okay, Dave Mater, when you get your laser beam, they would take their laser beams, remember those laser beams, little phasers they call them, and they'd poke them at something, and they'd push the button, and it never was a bullet that went poof, it was a steady stream, remember, and the sound would kind of go like, you know, and they'd keep it pointed at the rock, and all of a sudden the rock would go boom and it would explode. That was the picture God began to put in my mind, that if I want that thing out of the way, keep the faith beam on, keep it focused, keep it exerting, keep it flowing. And when I begin to practice that in my life, tell you the truth, I can quote you all my church growth statistics and all my church growth principles that I learned. But I'll tell you one thing that I cannot do for other pastors. I cannot stand there and focus their faith for them on their church, on their city, for their staff, for millions in buildings and millions in lands and multiple locations. That has to be taken by faith. And so when I get my beam on this thing and I'm going, and then I got a staff member that comes on and, you know, and they're working with me, and then pastors come on board with me, and then you guys come on board with me. In unity, we all begin to focus and say, this is coming in the name of Jesus. There's something about faith that gets it done rather than waiting to see what God's going to do. That changed my life. I'll always honor Kenneth Hagin for the fact that one truth, because everything else that I would consider basic doctrine really had been infused in me by my parents. But the way he said it was faith will move the mountain. And we just got into this thing and we begin to use it consistently. Now, please use that on your life. If you don't become aware of your own faith life, you will very soon look at others as your source. And then it's life's hard. Then I'm happy if my sister-in-law leaves me alone. And then I'm happy if the mother-in-law doesn't get involved in our life. Now, I'm just making these up, by the way, just so you don't go quoting me. I'm happy if. But I am firmly convinced at this point in my life that whatever is going on in my life, sometimes there's timing involved. Okay, like if I'm believing for a great staff member and they're not free yet, I keep believing God till God kicks them loose somewhere and in they come. But the faith of believing and speaking to that thing, okay, with the consistent beam of faith on target, that is what it's going to take for all of us here to take this thing to new levels. Now, even if you're not the head of your department, you need to learn to speak to it. We need to speak in agreement as a staff as to what the amount is that's coming in. Now, we just got a new amount. What was the finances we're believing for? Where'd Mike go? He knows. We're believing for $150,000 a week. Write it down. That's one of your faith beliefs. $150,000. That's what we're believing God for a week. That will take us to a place of being able to do the new pro. Well, that's going to, not doing all the new, but it's going to, where we can finance each of your ministries with the equipment and the things that we need to take you to new levels. Okay? That's the amount we're believing God for. Write it down. Every day you speak, I want you to speak 150,000. I want you to call it done, and it's in the name of Jesus. And I want to be able to come back here sometime this year and say, we've hit this thing, we got a new number. And I want you to focus on it. I want you to believe God for it, because we're doing the best we can. We are not managing frivolously. We're not throwing bad money somewhere. We are functioning as sharp as the guy that does our income tax, who looks after, who audits us, has told me repeatedly that one of the top, well, last year he told me, I haven't talked to him this yet, the top business of all the ones that he does in the city and across the province is this church for handling his finances and going to whole new levels with wisdom. So he's impressed. So we're excited about that. But we're going to go to a whole new level financially so we can begin to finance the things we want to do. So it's 150. Now let's review real quickly the steps of faith. Number one, have faith in God. Mark 11, 22, 23. Have faith in God. You know, that means a lot to me, because you're not doing this thing and you're not flapping in the breeze by yourself. Okay? You're here because God's called you here. All right, you're here on this team because God's called you on this team. Where you fit on the team, where you flow on the team, all those things are subject to change, and none of us minds where God puts us as long as we're on the team God's called us to. And you got to have faith that God knows the future. You got to have trust. You got to be able to say, God, you love me. You wouldn't waste me. So I'm going to just labor in love and work. So I'm going to have faith. And you got to have, and you have to have the God kind of faith is one thing that one version brings out, which means not a human faith, but a God faith. Then when it gets done saying, have faith in God. And the only way to have faith in God is Romans 10, 17. Faith cometh. If you don't, you haven't grown in faith. You've got to exert your listening. You've got to exert your confession of speaking the word, okay? Because listening, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then it says, speak to the mountain. Now, I'm going to change this a little bit, because there are sometimes it's not a mountain you're speaking to. It's something you're believing for that's very positive. Like, maybe nothing's hurting in your life. You're blessed, but you're believing God for more to give. Well, what's the mountain you're commanding to go away? Nothing. Everything's going good. You're just going to whole new levels. So whether it's in a negative or in a positive, if it's in a negative, then you speak to the mountain, which means that growth, I command you to go in the name of Jesus Christ. Or this spirit of just whatever's pushing against my marriage, I command you out in the name of Jesus. You're going to be guaranteed Satan's going to push against your marriage, your money, and your peace of mind. Guaranteed. He's going to push against those three things all the time. So when you sense an attack coming, so don't get up every day and scream with the devil. But there are sometimes you get up and you go, man, what is that? Jesus' name, I command the assignment against my marriage terminated in Jesus' name. I command the assignment against my finances terminated in Jesus' name. Mountain of poverty, go away. Mountain of go away. Whatever it is, speak to mountains, command them to go away. And then it says, believe in your, don't doubt in your heart. Which means you're going to doubt in your head. Oh, I wonder if my marriage is okay. Oh, I heard what, you know. Head's fine, but the only way to keep it out of your heart is to confess the word, not your doubts. What you confess eventually determines what stays in your heart. So the doubts that are in your head will die if you speak to the doubts with the Word of God. So don't doubt in your heart. There's been many times my head is screaming at me when I do something new. But my heart, but I refuse to give it voice. Other than there's times I needed help. Say like dad, mom, or a pastor friend, talk to me like, am I nuts? And I'll talk about it once just to make sure I'm on target. Because sometimes if your head's screaming too much, it's going to get in your heart. But I need help. It's okay, in Jesus' name. No, this is the way we're going. So speak to mountains. Don't doubt in your heart. How to keep it in your heart? Keep your mouth saying what the Word says. Practice this daily. Now, if you don't have a problem, you're just believing God to a new level. The answer for that is in Romans 4:17. That teaches us, call things that be not as though they were. That's where I said, Father, I didn't have to speak to a mountain for holidays. There was no mountain to speak to. Our family was fine. I just wanted to go on holidays. And how can you call things that be not if you don't know what the be is? So my B was, okay, I want a good week. Lord, I want a cabin at the lake. It's not too much to ask for. I'm believing you for a holiday. I need a break this year. And I said, Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. It's done. My holidays are a cabin at the beach with my own beachfront in Jesus' name. And I get up in the morning with that vision, and that's what I'd confess. And I'd call it done. I didn't ask him for it over and over and over again because that's not faith. Faith believes it's done. Faith calls things that aren't yet as though they are. Therefore, you want more leaders. You got great leaders, great. But I need more. Well, there's no mountain to speak to. What's a devil? Nah, he ain't that powerful. Just get up and say, Father, I thank you for the best volunteers around coming to my department. Well, can you claim that? Yes, because there's some that'll be best in yours and some that'll be best over here, right? Just claim them. Father, I need 20 more. I'm claiming 20 more in the name of Jesus. Done. Get up in the morning saying, thank you for those 20 in the name of Jesus. Something comes over you that the Bible calls a spirit of faith. And you wake up expecting, today, God just knows it's going to be today. And if it's not today, it's tomorrow. Someone's going to talk to me. And you'll just find them. You just believe. One of the things I've always done with our congregation was I believe that everything we need is in the congregation. I believe they're going to rise to levels I never dreamed possible. I just believe that we have an awesome church. I say it, I've talked about it, back when we were in a mud parking lot in a rented curling rink. I believe where God's got awesome things. And just call things that be not as though they were. So we're saying in Jesus' name, $150,000 a week is flowing, done, into this church. In Jesus' name. Look after all the areas, all the ministries, all the different buildings, all the different locations. Speak to it. Speak into your area. What area are you believing for in your marriage, your home? Guys, faith works on your sex life.
Amen.
Ladies, same thing. That's if you're married. It don't work. It does work, but you got to pray differently. And you'll be amazed at, you know, it works on everything. It works on dieting. Begin to call things that be not as they were. I believe I desire healthy foods and healthy amounts. In the name of Jesus, my metabolism is healthy and burning. In the name of Jesus, I am strong and healthy and fit. In the name of Jesus, I'm going to live to 120. Thank you, Lord. It's confessing the promises of God daily. It releases the laser beam of faith and it goes to work on whatever it is. It's powerful. So we've got to be faith people. When we move out of faith, a lot of the friends that I have with large churches, are we taping this? Okay, I'll be careful. A lot of the friends that I have with large churches, not all of them, but there's a few of them, they don't believe the faith message, but they're wonderful leaders. Some of them are on Prozac. I'm serious. They're on Prozac. Some of them are struggling with depression in their marriage. Some have incredible health problems. Just dealing with incredible obstacles that I look at these guys in awe because they don't believe that faith will move them. They just believe it's their cross to bear and they still do their work and they do it with excellence. And I kind of just, because God doesn't want them to go through that. He wants them to deal with it and get rid of it. But they believe in their belief system and they're wonderful Christian bros. They just believe, you know, Leon, I appreciate your perspective, but you know what? I don't quite believe that way. They just really believe that God, that, you know, that in this physical world there's going to be suffering. And we believe that, we know that too. But they think this is a part of it. And I don't believe that sickness or mental health is a part of what we've got to carry. I think the attacks of people, I think the attack on our mind, I think demonic attack on every other is going to happen. I think there's a load we have to carry and get strong. Like Paul says, I've learned, you know, I carry the burden of these churches. There's a burden to leadership. You just accept it, love it, and move on it. But so when it comes to believing God, if you don't have a spirit of faith, you will still do what God's called you to do, but you'll be carrying more than you need to carry. It's like there'll be a heaviness that starts weighing you down instead of a spirit of faith that calls it done. And if you've got a spirit of faith before it happens, you're already starting to relax. You're in God's peace because you know it will happen. So have faith in God. Speak to the mountain. Don't doubt in your heart. Believe that what you say will come to pass and you're going to have whatever you say. Very powerful, powerful thought. Words were not designed in the garden to just communicate. They were designed to control the animals and the planet. My personal belief system is, okay, in looking at the way God operates, because God, man was made in the likeness and the image of God. When God wanted something done, he spoke 11 times in Genesis 1. When Jesus wanted something done, he spoke to it. I believe Adam had the same ability in the garden to control elephants or T-Rexes or whatever your belief system on dinosaurs is, with words. He couldn't fight the elephant with physical strength. He couldn't claw the tiger. He couldn't outstink the skunk. Yeah, these animals were beyond him. But he could speak, and he had the power of God to speak and to control and to subdue. So the planet wasn't perfect as far as nothing had to be done. He had to subdue it, dominate it, and multiply the Garden of Eden all around the world. How did he do it? By speaking. He labored with his body too, but by speaking, he controlled. And I believe that today, God's trying to teach us back to that. We need to make sure in your personal life, your sexual life, your marriage, your kids, your personal finances, your involvement here at church, the handling of the load you carry for us, which is precious to us, the things that you do. If you don't have a spirit of faith, you will be discouraged so fast. And when you get discouraged, you'll be amazed how you don't know where to go with something. So speak to the mountain. Have faith in God. Speak to the mountain. Don't doubt in your heart. Remember, keep stuff out of your heart. Once stuff gets into your heart, the only way to get it out is to ask for forgiveness. And you get cleansed. You say, well, really? That works? Yeah. But I didn't sin. No, just a minute. Whatsoever is not of faith, it is sin. To him an oath to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Once something gets in your heart, you can't clean that thing out. That's the problem with heart. It's there. So how do you get it out? Father, I confess right now, I've let unbelief into my heart. I've let discouragement reign in my heart. Please forgive me. I ask the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse me, to wash me. He asks you to forgive me and the blood of Jesus to clean me. And he cleanses the heart. He just cleans it right out. And away it goes, and now you get this fresh, you can go again and get the right stuff in you. I've found that forgiveness is the way to get a fast, clean heart. And so use that. And then, of course, it goes on talking about when you stand praying. Now, the last thing I want to share with you is about Bezalel. Now, my notes disappeared. If anyone's got a concordance and can look up the word Bezalel, or write the name down and you go and you find it on your own. I was going to read them to you. Here's what it says. Bezalel, Bezalel, was the person that God gave, I'm going to brainstorm, was it to Moses or was it to Solomon? Moses, thank you. Was the person God gave to Moses who had abilities that were remarkable in the working of gold, precious stone, silver. Now, the Bible says he was anointed to do that. All right, so this guy's standing on a rock, got a trowel in one hand, and he is anointed to scrape mortar. and to place in jewels. And it goes on to say, and he added a whole bunch more to Moses who had an anointing to do the work. I read that the other day. I thought, that is so cool. Because what that means is, it's just not the leader that is anointed. You know, it's just not Leon that's anointed. But everything you do for us here, even if it's not the final place of ministry for you, but it's a place you are filling in and maintaining for us at this time of our church growth. Because a team member fills in where the team needs it. But as we fulfill that position, the Bible promises us whatever we put our hands to will be blessed. Well, blessed means to be happy, fortunate, and to be envied because the presence of God comes on us to do that. That's something to claim. If he'll anoint an Old Testament man named Bezalel, and there was a bunch of other guys, then he'll anoint us. What do we need downtown, inner city? What do we need in the youth and NERV? Well, what do we need for 725? What do we need at Masters? What do we need in these buildings for equipment and garages? You know what? One thing I'm going to encourage you, don't look to me as your source. Okay? Because you'll get disappointed. I'll never meet the needs you have. But I'm believing God. That as I'm believing, because I'll believe with you. You give me your faith list, I'll help you believe it in if we're on target. We've got to agree on it first. You know, we got our faith list together and say, this is our wish list, Pastor. Hey, I'd love that boom camera flowing over the congregation. We already agreed on that one. We're believing that one in. You're practicing your faith until it becomes your, the word there, spirit, means it becomes your attitude. It just dominates your thinking, dominates your spirit. And you rise up and you believe God for these things. So I wanted to just challenge you with that I find I got to kind of grab myself once in a while. See, Leon, you believe in God for this? And there's other things that happen to me, I'm bringing in myself too, because my heart has gotten a little bit down on this thing and I'm sucking it in. And I got to say, no, God, I don't want that thing. Let's believe God. And I would like you to think this message through, go home and make two lists. What do you personally believe in God for? The list is just for you. And then you begin to speak to it. And then what do you believe in God for at work? The 150 a week is something I'd like you to believe God for. And then the areas that are causing you pressure, or the thing, maybe there's nothing, then believe God for the next level. Okay. Pressure is the only thing that actually makes most people stretch. It's a fact. You go to the best coaches in the world, the best players. The best players are the best because they're stretched. And you know what? God has a way of stretching us. Now, that I'm not going to take that a step further into the suffering movement where God has to break you or hurt you. No, I don't agree with that. But you know what? All of our ministries will always outgrow us. This church has outgrown me big time. So me has to keep growing and stretching. And when I think I've stretched far enough, I can't believe how God can keep stretching me out. And whatever that clutching system is, clutch goes in. Boom, down it goes. And wow, why didn't we think of this before? I don't know. How come this 400 people didn't volunteer before? I don't know. How come? I don't know. But we're just believing God and we're still going. And I really, really, really believe that this message is for right now. It's for today. Summertime is here. Let's, you know, we all have to keep doing our work. But whenever your holidays are, go play hard, have fun. You know, do what God's called you to do, but keep a spirit of faith. Keep focusing on things and speaking the word. And let your family walk in the blessing that only faith can bring. Only faith can bring. I don't care if God's got to drop an oil well on you. I don't care if God's got to have something come your way that you can't believe it. The thing I've noticed God doing in my life over the years is that when I pray for things, there are times it is an increase in my work. It's an increase in God's blessing in my finances. Often, it's just something I get blessed with. Whether it is all of a sudden the incredible deal of a lifetime just happens to come your way. It ain't no happenstance. Nothing happens to me by chance if it's good. If it's good, goodness and mercy chasing me down, following me all the days of my life. So I need to believe God, have it flowing in my life. And I just, you know, my passion, I love you guys. Like, my job is to pastor the leaders and to teach the church. But you guys are really where the rubber hits the road. I mean, I want you so blessed, but I'm limited in my ability to bless you. But boy, God is unlimited and his resources are everywhere. I don't care what deals he's got to open up, what people you're going to meet or what's going to happen. But I want you all so blessed, so happy, so romantic, so much finances flowing in, your holidays so incredible that you got to take an hour to show us all the pictures and the videos and the exotic places you went to or whatever. I just want to believe God that the blessing of God will be on your life. And if you'll learn to use faith, now some of you are rookies in faith. Okay, the truth is, some of you are rookies. Some of you have great word knowledge, but have never practiced diligently daily faith. So you can be the most frustrated. You have all this knowledge, but no ability to acquire it. You know the promises, but can't live them out. Usually that causes frustration, but a daily practice. Faith is the servant of the believer. He is to go out there and work. Your faith needs to be working every day. And if I go to bed tonight, having spoken today over my marriage, spoken over my finances, spoken over my leaders, spoken over this church, I go to bed according to Mark chapter 4, verse 26 and on, and God gives to me while I'm sleeping. Isn't that good? While I'm sleeping, my crops are growing. And then in Psalms 127, and he gives me sleep to boot. Now, sometimes I have to work at it. I'm trying to solve 33 things at one time in my brain. Sometimes about 11 o'clock at night, it kicks on too good. I got to shut it down, go to bed. But man, let's get a spirit of faith. I guess if we've got a spirit of faith, if you've got a spirit of faith, then I can look at you and go, you're going to be a long-termer. You're going to be so excited. You're going to understand how to believe, how to speak, how to believe it in. And you know what? What are you going to do if all of a sudden somebody starts donating boom cameras and video equipment? Everyone's saying, hey, what's going on here? Hey, I didn't buy them. God's blowing them in there. You know what? I don't care how God gets them to us, he'll get them to us. So get your faith out there. Let's speak it. I don't care if someone says, how in the world you score a cabin at the beach in Florida? I ain't paying for it. You know, and someone just ran into somebody at the mall and this thing happened. And you know, you just never know where you go, what God's going to do. Here's what I found out. Most of the serendipities in my life are because I bless people. I don't know how many times I just took extra time with somebody. And I don't do it to get paid, because you don't expect half the people to do anything for you, or any of them, you mean. But I just see someone and I see him hurting. I go over and just give him a hand, help him out. And this guy turned around, and a week later I find out who this guy was. And I went, oh man. And he just turned around and blessed me. And it wasn't a way that I could even just say no. It was just, guy had it. It was nothing to him, but it just was everything to me. Or whatever God did. I find that if I pour my life into people, God wants to pour his life back into us. So my prayer today is, God, let your faith rise in our hearts. It's kind of like this. Give a man a fish, feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish, feed him for a lifetime. I want to believe with you. I want to help you go to levels in your marriage, your home, your finances you've never been before. In fact, you know what I think? I think most of us, if we're not, and so most of us have seen God bless our lives just being attached to Springs Church, just being here. God's blessed our homes, our marriages, our finances, our view on life, our kids. I look at my life and I'm just blessed to be here. Just blessed. And I just say, thank you, Jesus. Is my life without struggles? But I'm just so blessed. And I want you that way. I want you just so blessed. I'm going to be believing God with you. In fact, today I'm just going to renew my commitment to you to speak over your life. And to believe God for whatever needs you're seeing right now, it's going to come flowing in. So our testimony times at staff meeting come August, September, we got to shut it down because it's, you know what God did for me? And it just sparked off in all of our lives, personally and ministry-wise. Amen.